All right. Morning, BUC. Welcome, and thank you for joining us for our second conference worship service. I'm so glad that you've called in so that we can be together for worship. Last Sunday, we had 65 people call in for our first conference call service. People enjoy being able to dress casually, and one person even admitted they were in their pajamas, which is wonderful. People also enjoy being able to sip on a beverage, put their feet up, or walk about as they listen through their speakerphones. People felt nurtured and uplifted by God's Spirit. And after the service, the worship team were so moved by all the emails and phone calls from so many of you to say you enjoyed the service and found it meaningful and comforting. Many of you felt a sense of joy at being together. You felt connected at a time when so many of us are feeling isolated and alone. Someone even said the service was the first routine activity they had experienced in the past week. The worship team wants to thank you all for your kind words of appreciation. We know there were some requests to have John play his trumpet and the hymns sung by someone as Karen played the piano, but when we tested these ideas, we found that the quality of the sound diminished greatly and at times was inaudible. So you will have to continue to sing or hum along in your homes. However, today you will be getting to enjoy hearing an a cappella solo from Lauren, our soprano soloist. So thank you, Lauren, for sharing your angelic voice with us this morning. And I want to thank Karen for twinkling the ivory so beautifully on her baby grand piano. Our thanks to Kennedy for reading our scripture lessons. And many thanks to our techie extraordinaire, Brian Kai, for moderating our service. By the way, a little birdie tweeted me that today is Brian's birthday. So happy birthday, Brian. Karen is going to be playing Happy Birthday, and we could all join in singing Happy Birthday to Brian in our homes. Brian, you will not hear any of us singing, but your own Tweety Bird little wife Dee Dee will serenade you. Karen, you can now play Happy Birthday. Thank you, Karen. And Brian, we hope you have a wonderful day.
Thanks very much.
If you're not able to play a round of golf today, maybe you can practice putting some golf balls in your living room. But I'm sure Dee Dee will spoil you with a delicious dinner and birthday cake.
Thanks very much.
You're very welcome, and hope you have a great day. Once again, after the service, feel free to send an email or make a phone call to Kaz or myself or to Brian to let us know how your experience was today. Let us know if you had any problems connecting or hearing. And as we are about to begin our service, I want to take a moment to acknowledge the extraordinary situation the world and we are in. We are being asked for the first time in our lives to self-isolate from extended family and friends, only going out for essentials. And some of you, or you may have family members who provide these essential services and are going to work, putting their lives at risk. So we are grateful to all for your service. This is not an easy time for anyone. And I'm so thankful for this time, for us to gather to worship and to find some comfort from our God who seeks to surround us with hope and compassionate care. For we are never alone. We will always be held by God in God's loving arms. We will get through this. Brighter days are ahead. Easter is coming, and today we will feel some of that resurrection spirit through our worship. For those of you who have an order of worship, I invite you to follow along with me. Although your phone is muted, you can feel free to read the prayers, sing, or hum the hymns out loud. No one will hear you singing, for the scriptures say to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. So in a spirit of faith and hope, let us just take a moment to prepare our hearts and minds as we center ourselves in the love of God. There are times when our lives have felt like dry bones and we have lost our hope. But God says to us, prophesy to these bones. I'm going to put breath into you and bring you back to life. Them bones are going to live again. So let us praise our Creator who gives us hope and new life as we worship. I invite you to join in our opening prayer. God of Spring, we worship you as the whole source of life and creator of new beginnings. Begin anew in us, warm our hearts, and rekindle our faith. Awaken us to dance with joy and sing your praise as we gather to worship you. Renew our hope in what is possible, and breathe your spirit of life into us and your world. Amen. So let us join now in singing the first verse of As Comes the Breath of Spring.
Here. I wonder if you could mute your line because you've been lagging at about a half a second behind and it's kind of confusing. Thanks very much.
So I invite you to join in our prayer for grace. Let us join together. For God of love and grace, as we continue on our Lenten journey, we know there are times when the path is difficult and the way is uncertain. Our commitments feel like dry bones. We maintain structures, but we lack spirit. Breathe new life into each one of us, O God, and fill us with your power for living and your promise of new beginnings. Amen. For the Spirit of God brings life and breath to us and to the world. We are God's people. Proclaim this good news. Amen. So I'm going to invite Kennedy if she would read the scripture readings, and then we will be blessed with a solo from Lauren.
The Hebrew scripture today comes from Ezekiel 37, verses 1 to 14, the vision of a valley of dry bones coming to life. I felt the powerful presence of the Lord, and his spirit took me, set me down in a valley where the ground was covered with bones. He led me all around the valley, and I could see that there were very many bones that were very dry. He said to me, "Mortal man, can these bones come back to life?" I replied, "Sovereign Lord, only you can answer that." He said, "Prophecy to the bones. Tell these dry bones to listen to the word of the Lord. Tell them that I, the Sovereign Lord, am saying to them, I am going to put breath into you and bring you back to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord." So I prophesied as I have been told. while I was speaking, I heard a rattling noise, and the bones began to join together. While I watched, the bones were covered with muscles and skin, but there was no breath in the body. God said to me, "Mortal man, prophesy to the wind. Tell the wind that the Sovereign Lord commands it to come from every direction to breathe into these dead bodies and to bring them back to life." So I prophesied as I had been told. Breath entered the bodies, and they came to life and stood up. There were enough of them to form an army. God said to me, "Mortal man, the people of Israel are like these bones. They say that they are dried up, without any hope, and with no future. So prophesy to my people Israel, and tell them that I, the Sovereign Lord, am going to open their graves. I am going to take them out and bring them back to the land of Israel. They will know that I am the Lord. I will put my breath in them, bring them back to life, and let them live in their own land. I, the Lord, have spoken." The gospel lesson today comes from John 11, verses 1, 5 to 7, 17 to 27, and 38 to 45. Jesus raises Lazarus. A man named Lazarus, who lived in Bethany, became sick. Bethany was the town where Mary and her sister Martha lived. Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Yet when he received the news that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was for two more days. Then he said to the disciples, "Let us go back to Judea." When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had been buried 4 days before. Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Judeans had come to see Martha and Mary to comfort them about their brother's death. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed in the house. Martha said to Jesus, "If you had been here, Lord, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now, God will give you whatever you ask him for." "Your brother will rise to life," Jesus told her. "I know," she replied, "that he will rise to life on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me will live, even though they die. And those who live and believe in me will never die. Do you believe this?" "Yes, Lord," she answered. "I do believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who was to come back into the world." Deeply moved once more, Jesus went to the tomb, which was a cave with a stone placed at the entrance. "Take the stone away," Jesus ordered. Martha, the dead man's sister, answered, "There will be a bad smell, Lord. He has been buried 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Didn't I tell you that you would see God's glory if you believed?" They took the stone away. Jesus looked up and said, "I thank you, Father, that you listen to me. I know that you always listen to me, but I say this for the sake of the people here, so that they will believe that you sent me." After he had said this, he called out in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." He came out. His hands and feet were wrapped in grave clothes, and with a cloth around his face. "Untie him," Jesus told them, "and let him go." Many of the people who had come to visit Mary saw what Jesus did, and they believed in him. May God's blessing be added to these readings.
Oh, Lord, my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the works thy hand hath made, I see
The Gospel of John was the last of the four Gospels to be written between 90 and 100 years after the death and resurrection of Jesus. If Jesus actually raised Lazarus from the dead and a crowd of people witnessed it, then this story would have been told by other Gospels, who frequently use story metaphors to convey a deeper meaning and a larger truth. Ancient Jewish people and the Romans believed that the soul hangs around the body of a person who died for 3 days, but by the fourth day, it is too late. So Jesus' raising of Lazarus on the fourth day is a message for people going through tough times, like a global pandemic, or the death of a child, or a terminal illness, or the economic collapse. It is a story for times when all hope is gone, and it feels like we are powerless to turn the tide. John's Gospel declares that these low periods are opportunities for God's glory to be revealed. Jesus comes to us, feels our pain and grief, raises us up, and gives us new life. While Martha believes in a future resurrection on the last day, Jesus asks if she and we can claim it to be true here today. Jesus declares, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, yet shall they live. And those who live and believe in me will never die." God is a powerful force, a loving presence, who shows up at the worst of times, bringing new life in unexpected ways. While the impact of the COVID-19 virus is widespread and it's heartbreaking, there are some opportunities to see our hearts opened in a spirit of compassion, care, hope, and joy. And so I'd like to share with you 3 good news stories that show how people's hearts have been opened in a spirit of love as a result of this situation. The first story, in California, 3 young sisters from the ages of 4 to 10 have converted a lemonade stand that they would operate each summer into free waves to people passing by. The sisters will stand behind their lemonade stand with a big sign on the front saying, "Free waves." As people walked by or biked by or drove by in cars, the girls would stand there joyously waving to the people who passed by them. People laughed, smiled, and waved back to the 3 young girls who wanted to do their part to make people feel better, to make them feel cared for during this difficult time in our world. The girls lift your spirits just watching them. The second story is that after our worship service last Sunday, Taro Ida texted me, and he told me something about his company where he works called Fuji Spray. He told me something that this company did a few weeks ago. Fuji Spray heard that a children's health clinic in Toronto had to close because it had run out of face masks for the healthcare workers. And around this same time, Fuji Spray had a supplier in China who asked them if they needed some more face masks. Fuji Spray decided to buy a ton of face masks and donate them to this children's health clinic. The clinic, as a result, was able to reopen because of this gift, and the healthcare workers were so happy and eager to get back to work serving the children. What a wonderful gift this company gave to the children and parents. Fuji Spray truly opened their hearts to help others, especially children. So thank you, Taro, for sharing this wonderful, inspirational story with us. The third story, it happened about 2 weeks ago in Toronto. a mom who is also a baker and an indigenous activist, she initiated caremongering, which is the opposite of scaremongering. She initiated a Facebook group to arrange acts of kindness to help people in significant need. She had hoped maybe 20, 30 people would sign up to serve. The Toronto group now has over 9,000 members. More than 35 Facebook caremongering groups sprang up within 3 days right across Canada with more than 30,000 members and have spread around the world to places like South Africa and Switzerland. People can post their need for help in one column and helpers can offer to meet that need in a matching column. All the acts of kindness are permanently recorded for an uplifting read. It runs the gamut from delivering soup to seniors to exercise classes held for quarantine residents on their balconies and people often standing in long lines to shop for groceries for seniors. A restaurant in Ajax called Flavors is offering free food to seniors and low-income people. And Carlton Cards donated cards to send to people who are isolated or the elderly in need of some love. Caremongering shows that Canadians are willing to open their hearts and look out for each other. Beyond practical help and kindness, caremongering also restores people's faith in humanity. It overcomes the feeling of isolation with a new, wider sense of community. It rekindles hope and shines a light on the amazing things that can happen when we take away the stones that can lock us in or out. And ultimately, by removing the stones, we are able to open our hearts so that God can raise us up to new life. So may we all be open to receiving God's gift of new life in our hearts today and every day. So I invite us now to join in singing or humming along to Breathe On Me, Breath of God.
Martha, and all who were grieving. We too
are mourning with those thousands of people around the world who are grieving the passing of loved ones due to the coronavirus and for many other reasons. We especially hold the family and friends of Eileen O'Gura, who passed away this past week. May all who are grieving find comfort in knowing our loved ones' spirits are at home in your comforting arms of love. As we turn our attention to the world in the midst of this unprecedented pandemic, we thank you for the doctors, the nurses, the healthcare professionals treating hundreds of thousands of people infected with this virus. We pray for their health, strength, compassion, and stamina as they treat a growing number of people in need of care. We also pray for the millions of people who have been laid off work and are fearful about the future, and for the businesses who have been forced to close. We are thankful for the Canadian government and for all other nations who are doing their best to provide practical support and financial aid for all who are impacted by this world pandemic. We also hold in our hearts those from our congregation and in the community who are locked down in seniors' residences and long-term care homes due to the virus. We hold those who have had to self-isolate due to travel or vulnerable conditions. May they feel the comforting embrace of your loving arms around them. Thank you, too, for all who send cards, emails, or make phone calls to express their love and support to each other during this uneasy time. We pray, O God, for all in our congregation who are dealing with illnesses, those going through treatments, those awaiting treatments, and those recovering from illnesses. May they be strengthened and supported in their time of need. Hear now, O God, our silent prayers for ourselves, our family, our friends, and our community and our world. Hear now our silent prayers. May your love, strength, and courage support and guide us each day. We pray all of this in the name of Jesus, the Prince of Peace and Grace, who taught us when we gather together to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. So we're going to join in singing our last hymn, We Shall Go Out with Hope of Resurrection. Thank you. triumphal entry into Jerusalem. And as part of the service, I thought we would celebrate the sacrament of Holy Communion together. So I invite you to have a piece of bread or a cracker and a beverage beside you, and together we will share the Lord's Supper. We will also have a Good Friday conference call service on April the 10th at 11 a.m. So blessings on your week. Please call or email me whenever you feel like talking or would like a listening ear. I am here for you, hoping to support you in any way I can. And I hope that you felt a little bit of that resurrection spirit through the service. May you open your hearts to God's love and call on your Christian faith to give you the support and courage that you need each day. Remember, you are never alone. God is always with you. Stay well, and I will look forward to worshiping with you next week. Same day, same time, and phone number. And I will close now with our blessing. So may God bless you and keep you. May God's face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May God look upon you with kindness and give you peace. And until we meet again, may God hold you in the palm of God's hand. Amen.
Attending the Bay View United Church conference call worship service for Sunday, March 29th. We'll see you next week, Sunday, April the 5th, Palm Sunday at 10:45. You may now hang up your phone.